Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad that you're with us today. It's Friday. Take a deep breath, push back all the distractions, and let's watch for what God might be speaking to us into our hearts today. I want to talk about what I call defining moments. Defining moments. And it's sort of with a subtext of jailbreak, because I want to talk about Jesus' constant desire for us to break out of the prisons that we've put ourselves in, or that we've allowed ourselves to be put in. And that, we'll get to that topic in just a minute. Let me remind you that 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. And you can check us out, find out all about us. Just go to our website, 721ministries.org. That's the numbers, 721ministries.org. Check us out on Facebook, 721 Ministries. We've got a lot of articles on the website. We've got past radio shows, 721ministries.org. Okay, today, defining moments, or jailbreak, which I like to say. Think about this. Can you look back and identify a defining moment in your life, when the trajectory of your life shifted, and the result being a much more positive path, a new life? Maybe you conquered an unhealthy habit, or you had a destructive, dysfunctional coping mechanism in your relationships, and you put it behind you, or you saw it and you conquered it, or perhaps you had a nagging personal issue. And whether or not you knew at the time that this would turn out to be a defining moment, looking back, it is now crystal clear it was a turning point in your life. I bet you can. I bet you can look back over your life and think about that. But here's what I want to really ask you. Have you had that type of experience in your spiritual journey? Have you had that kind of defining moment in your spiritual journey? Now, be careful. Be careful, because I've seen many apparent defining moments. What sure looked to be like a life-altering event. At the time, it looked like things had really, the light had come on. Things were changing, a whole new approach to life. But eventually, it just kind of petered out. Eventually, it just sort of flattened out into just another taxi ride. And that's what I see so often. Thanks so much, God. I'm better now. I'll get back to you when I need you again. Here's a tip for helping out. Just a taxi ride. I see it all the time. Matter of fact, I see it more often than an actual defining moment. I see these emotional highs that people get with God. And they feel Him, and they get close, and they open up, and they make these commitments, and they pledge devotion to the Lord. And maybe they even say the sinner's prayer. I've seen, because I've worked with the youth for many years, you see what people call the youth group syndrome, where at the end of a weekend retreat or the end of a week-long seminar, they're out a camp or a mission trip, and they have some type of altar call at the end of the week, and everybody rushes forward just full of emotion, pledging their life, born again. And hardly by the time they get off the bus, when they get home, they're right back to normal. Trust me when I say this is the norm, not the exception. And it's heartbreaking to witness, when I'm dealing with adults, which I do now, it's heartbreaking to witness to see them come so close, to come right up to the edge. Well, I should say it was heartbreaking for maybe the first 50 times or so that I watched it unfold. And truthfully, I'm sure it's heartbreaking for God to watch me 50 or so times to come up close and then step back. But I've come to expect it now. When I'm watching someone dealing with an issue in their life, or they're approaching the light and they get close, I've come to expect them to step back. And I'm so pleasantly surprised and proud for the Lord and encouraged by His great power when I see someone actually step boldly and bravely into the light, refusing to dwell in the past, putting their past hurts and pains behind them and embracing the chance to change their lives, to let the Lord take over. It's so encouraging, but again, it's not typically the case. During our summer series these past several weeks, we called it Encounters with Jesus, and we saw Jesus crossing paths with a number of people from all walks of life. And I bet you that most of them were just looking for a little help. Just a little help. I know you're great. I know you can work miracles. I need a little help here, Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Nothing serious. I mean, let's don't get carried away. I just need for you to get me out of this situation I'm in. Or I just need for you to help me correct this problem that I have. I need a little help. Maybe I need a little polishing up, but that's really all I need. I'm okay otherwise. See, these encounters that Jesus had with Nicodemus, with the Samaritan woman at the well, with Martha and Mary, with Martha, busy Martha, with the rich young ruler, with Peter, they didn't necessarily see it coming. They didn't expect a defining moment to materialize out of this encounter with Jesus, to present itself to them. They didn't see it coming. They certainly didn't expect to be challenged to radically change the course of their life. They just needed a little help. They just needed Jesus to fix something that was going on in their lives. They weren't looking for anything major. And it happens like that so often. You just suddenly, it's crystallized. It's almost like a pop quiz in school. It's crystallized. It's right there in front of you. A choice is put before you. And then at other times, I see it, and you've probably seen it, unfolding over a period of time, days or weeks or months as we struggle through some issue, maybe even years. We're experiencing a trial, or there's hurt, or there's something that's just not getting any better. And over this period of time, we see the chance. Jesus offers us the chance. Several times over the course of these experiences, we see it and we weigh the options. Whether we know we're weighing the options or not, we're doing a cost-benefit analysis. We're weighing out whether the cost of stepping into the light and making this, accepting this radical change, surrendering, yielding my way to Jesus' way, even if it means this isn't going to work out the way I wanted it to work out. Over this course of time, we had several opportunities and we slink back. I can tell you, there were at least two episodes in my life that maybe drug on for a year or so. Maybe even longer than that, but certainly I can remember two specific. And I know, looking back, one time I was a believer, one time I wasn't, before I was a believer and after, where I could see Jesus saying, if you want to get well, here's what you'll do. Here's the way you'll let me handle this. Here's what you'll do with your heart if you want to get well. And the truth was, I really didn't want to get well. I just wanted him to fix the problem. And see, all of these encounters that we looked at over the summer, Jesus confronted each one gently, but he confronted them with a challenge to go beyond this taxi ride ideal. Get beyond the taxi ride and step into the light and leave behind these draining issues, these issues that are dragging them backwards. And it's so interesting to me, the story of Jesus' encounter with the lame man. We see it in John 5. The lame man, you remember the story maybe. He's sitting by the pool and he's been lame for 38 years. And there he is, and Jesus walks up to him, maybe bumps into him. I'm sure it wasn't just coincidence. And the first question Jesus asked him was, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? What an odd question to ask someone who's been lame for 38 years. Of course he does. Who wouldn't want to get well? Well, wait a minute now. Let's keep in mind that Jesus is the master of the human psyche. And he knows, I guarantee you, he knows, because we see this unfold in the conversation and in the encounter. He knows that this is really the starting point for this man's journey. Out of his physical prison of pain, and no doubt the emotional prison that has occurred because of this physical prison of pain, this is the starting point into the freedom of the light. Do you want to get well, Jesus says. Do you want to get well? Of course he does. Or does he? Because see, if he thinks about the change this is going to require, if he thinks about what it would be like to be well, and how radically this would change his life, the adjustments he'd have to make, I don't know. Maybe he would step back. As crazy as it may sound, we could be just like him. Yes, you. Now I want you to think about this, listening to me today. You could be comfortable in your misery. You've become accustomed to it. I mean, it even defines you. Yes, of course, it's hard and negative and all that kind of stuff, and nobody in their right mind would really want it, but it's who you've become. And to abandon this would mean wholesale changes that you might not be ready for. I might not be ready for all that. Do you want to get well, Jesus asks. He presses on. Do you want to get well? Or do you just want another taxi ride? See, Jesus, because he loves us so much, and you know, you've heard this before, but he loves you just the way you are, but far too much to leave you that way. He is going to press in. He wants for us the life to the full. He wants for us the life that is truly life, and he will not settle. I mean, maybe once or twice as you go through your journey, you can look back where he pressed in and then he let up because he could see you weren't going to do it. You weren't ready. But eventually, he will come back and he will confront you gently sometimes, sometimes not so gently, depending on your psyche, depending on how you made up with someone like me. He had to finally come in and get tough with me. Sam, do you want to get well? Stop. No. No excuses. No. None of that. No, what she said was bad, or what he did was wrong, or how they treated you, or any of those things. Do you, Sam, want to get well? He may let up many times over the course of your life, but he will move in, and you may miss the final chance for that defining moment. I remember when I was in the construction business, I was talking to a mason, and he told me that he was a Christian, and he I said, how long? And he said, well, I thought I was for a long time. But really, I was just playing touch football with God. And God was allowing me to play touch football. But at some point, he got tired of the playing touch football, and he went to playing tackle. And you can just see this man, like me, was so grateful that he finally did, because he didn't want to get well. Oh, he would say he did. Do you really want to get well? Do you want to be well? You have to ask yourself that question. It's the starting point for your journey out of whatever it is that's holding you back, whatever prison you have erected, to step out of it and step into the light, step into the A-plus life that God wants for you, that Jesus says, I've come to give you life, and I'm talking about life to the full life. Do you want to get well? We have to ask ourselves that. It may be a major issue in your life, or it may be a minor issue. Either way, do you want to get well? We'll be right back, the second part, just straight ahead. Welcome to the second half of 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad that you're with us today. We are talking about defining moments. Defining moments. Those times when Jesus steps up and says, like he did the lame man that we see in John 5, do you want to get well? Do you want to change? Do you want to step into the light? And maybe, as we finished up the first half, I said, maybe it's not a major, major issue. Maybe you haven't been lame for 38 years. It's interesting to me. I was born again when I was 38 years old, so I really relate to the story because I had been lame for 38 years. Exactly. And I could just watch. I could just imagine God watching me over those last, say, 15 years prior, leading up to when I was 38 years old, where I just got more and more lame. Lamer and lamer as I went deeper and deeper into the culture. And he finally said, do you want to get well? Really, Sam, do you want to get well? And for you, it may not be a major thing. It may be, but it may be a bunch of minor things. What we would call minor. They're not really minor, but they just don't have the neon light aspect to them. But don't tell me there's not some place in your life where you know you've heard God say, we don't want this. This is not good. This is not healthy. Do you really want to get well? Do you really want to change this? And it's insane, but we actually say, no, you know what? I really don't. All I really want is just a little bit of help over here. Here's where I want some help. I'll leave that alone for right now. You know, I know people who have become so embittered by some real or imagined offense against them. Maybe it was real. Maybe they really did that, or maybe they really said that, or they really cheated them out of that, maybe it was real. Or maybe they've blown it up in their own mind much bigger than it really was. Either way, it doesn't matter. It's become a real paradigm for their lives. I've seen people that are so accustomed to being the victim that to forgive, that to embrace, to even allow that the other person may not be all that bad, why, that would mean that they can't be the victim anymore. I think I could look back over the years of my life and see a couple episodes where I may have bought into that a little bit. Not terribly, but yes, come on, let's be objective with ourselves. But I actually know people around, grown-ups, wonderful people otherwise, but if they were to embrace this opportunity for a defining moment in their lives, it would just require too much of a change. And so when Jesus says, do you really want to get well? Do you want to get well? They say, you know what? I'm not so sure. Because it is the starting point for all of us. Do we want to get well, or we just want a taxi ride? You know, it's a similar setting when Jesus encountered these two blind men that had been yelling out to him. And finally he turned and he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" "What? Wait a minute, Jesus. I'm blind. What do you think I want you to do for me?" What would you say if he asked you that? What would you say if in your prayers you'd been calling out to Jesus, asking for help, saying, I'm blind or I'm lame in a certain area, and he turned and he looked you straight on and he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now you think about that for a minute. What would you say? "Well, Jesus, I'm not so sure. I thought I knew." If you really saw him for who he is, that's what you would say. I'm not so sure. I thought I knew what I wanted you to do for me, but really I just want you to be my master. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. That's what you'd say. I thought I knew, but now I don't, because I see who you really are. And all I want is for you. I want you. I don't want you to do anything for me. I just want you, because I see you as the Son of God, who you are. My Lord, my Savior, my Master, that's what I want. But so many of us would just, we'd be stunned. What do you mean? What do I want? I want you to fix this problem I have. I want you to work this out for me. See, unbelievably, when Jesus asked the lame man, "Do you want to get well?" he started making excuses. He said, "Well, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." He didn't answer the question because he didn't know the answer to the question. He'd never thought about it. Who wouldn't want to get well? Really, think about it. But I'm telling you, sadly, and no longer surprisingly, but it used to be, many people don't want to get well. I have observed so many people arrive at these defining moments with the chance to step into the light, a chance to experience the healing freedom that Jesus offers, only to shrink back into the mediocrity and the malaise of their C-minus life. And so here's what they do. They buy another car. They grab onto another relationship. They have another baby. They adopt a baby. They get busy. Oh, it's so heartbreaking to watch that happen. I know it was heartbreaking for the Lord to watch it happen with me over different times in my life, but we had the opportunity. We know we're in a C-minus life or even an F, and no, you know what? I think I'll buy another car. I think I'll find another wife or another girlfriend, another man or another. I think I'll have another baby, or let's adopt a baby, or whatever it is, let's get distracted. Let's get busy. See, Jesus does not want you to settle for less. He wants for you the life to the full. He wants for all of us this life that is truly life. But here's the thing. He knows that we must first see our lameness. We must see it for what it is and confront this C-minus life and our affinity for it before we will ever want to get well. And here's the thing, and don't miss this. He knows that you must want Him, not just another taxi ride out of trouble. You must want Him to be your Lord and your Savior and your Master. Let me step back and reverse that. He knows that you must want Him to be your Savior first. He'll never be your Lord and your Master until He's your Savior. Then He wants you to step deeper and deeper into His kingdom and further out into the light, so that He can be more and more your Lord and your Master. He knows that it has to start there. So He jars us with these piercing truths. I've stood face to face with Him and gotten more than one of these piercing truths when He really looked at me and He said, "Do you want to get well?" I bet you have. I know you have. Do you want to get well? In our summer series, we saw this with the religiously righteous Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you must be born again. What? That's not what I asked. That's not why I came here. I started off complimenting you, Jesus. I said you had to be a great teacher from the Lord. What? No, that doesn't matter, Nicodemus. You must be born again. We saw this with the emotionally codependent Samaritan woman at the well. After he started off with this conversation, then he finally said, "Go, call your soon-to-be sixth husband." Well, I know you're not married to him. I know you've had five husbands. I'm putting it all out. I'm dragging it into the light. I'm confronting you because I'm going to give you a chance for a defining moment. Go call your husband. Jarring her out of that conversation where she was shucking and jiving and trying to keep him from being able to really hone in on her. That's what we do. We saw this kind of gentle confrontation with the busy Martha. Martha, Martha, Jesus said, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Me. Mary, your sister, has chosen what is better. Again, that would be me. And it will not be taken away from her. We saw this, the way Jesus does this, where he offers these defining moments. We saw it with the really good and the really successful rich young ruler. When he said, go sell everything. What he's really saying is go surrender everything. Yield all of your life, your resume, all of your stuff, all of your accumulations. Yield those. Surrender those to me. And that will bring you treasures in heaven instead of this fixation you have. A defining moment for that rich young ruler. Your great resume, Jesus said to him, and all this stuff that you have, they're holding you back. Surrender those. And then come follow me. And sadly, he said no. What he really wanted was just a little help. He just needed a little polishing up. No, Jesus, I'm not ready for that. That's too radical. And then we saw it with the easily distracted Peter. When Peter turned around, he's got Jesus one-on-one on the beach. He's already had an incredible, poignant moment with him, a defining moment where Jesus says, do you really love me, or do you love your work and stuff, or your friends, or all that? Do you love me? And then Peter unbelievably turns around and says, what about John? What about him? And Jesus says, what is that to you? Why are you so easily sidetracked by what others are doing or saying? You must follow me. Each one of these encounters was a chance for a defining moment. And with each person, with you, Jesus is challenging, if you want to get well, you will follow me. If you want to get well, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus said to the blind man. What do you want me to do for you? You know, Jesus had all these I am sayings. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. He could have added one. He could have said, I am the crossroads of life. Because he is the crossroads of life. If you've ever been shackled by, let's say, excessive drinking or smoking or some type of drug or whatever, being overweight or out of shape, or you were emotionally dysfunctional and you finally broke free, you had a jailbreak out of that prison that you probably created for yourself, you know it didn't happen. You know it didn't happen until you saw your self-created prison for what it was. And you finally decided you wanted to be free. It's the same way in our spiritual lives, which is really our life, not our spiritual lives. That's different. Your life, until we see our lives for the true C minus they are, or maybe perhaps even the F, without Jesus, that's what they are. We'll just muddle along. We'll slink back from these defining moments, content to be discontented. Can you imagine that? But it's true. But Jesus loves you too much. He will use the circumstances that life throws at you to offer you these defining moments, a chance to break free. We just want a little help. Jesus wants a transformation. We just want to add an addition onto our life or have him fix some situation. He wants to come in and do a whole house renovation. Will you embrace the chance to change the trajectory of your life? Or will you immerse yourself back into the stupor of busyness? And once again, miss your shot at the light. The door to the C-minus life without Jesus, it's locked from the inside. You have the key. Are you a churchian? Like Nicodemus and Jesus saying, you must be born again. Or maybe you are born again, but you've become a prisoner to resentment or pride or self-absorption or low self-esteem, maybe even codependence. Break free. Jesus said to this lame man, get up, pick up your mat and walk. May you embrace that chance for that defining moment in your life. May you ask and seek and knock at the door of the life Jesus wants for you, and then resolutely embrace that next time, that next opportunity for a life-changing, defining moment. That's what Jesus wants for you. Do you want to get well? Do you really want to get well? What is it you want me to do for you? Jesus says. What a great God he is. Please dwell on this. Think about this. Do you really want to get well? I'm Sam Hunter. This is 721 Live. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.